And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things and full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Lo, this morning, on this Sabbath day, in this mountain, that is this congregation, the Lord of hosts hath prepared a feast. He has prepared a feast, and he made it ready. And the prophet had said, what kind of a feast it is? It is a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, a feast of fat things and full of marrow, a feast of wine on the lees, well refined. And it is the Lord of hosts that has made this feast ready, the faithful God, the God of all grace and mercy. And what else did Isaiah then declare? Oh, then he spoke about that destroying of all the covering veils. He spoke about that bitter suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also that death was swallowed up in victory. Then he spoke moreover that the Lord would wipe away all the tears from his people's eyes here in the beginning and once eternally. And that he will remove all the reproach. For then the Lord adorns his people with beauty, and he displays that for all the earth. And what follows upon that congregation? There is a people that shall experience two things. And what is that? Waiting and rejoicing. Waiting and rejoicing. And may that now be finding an echo in the heart of God Zion. And if we miss it, that in this morning that may be given, waiting and rejoicing. The text you can find in Isaiah 25 by renewal. Isaiah 25, verse 9. And there we can read. Isaiah 25, verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation thus far. Waiting and rejoicing. Two thoughts. A living expectation and a sure salvation. A living expectation and a sure salvation. And it shall be said in that day. When was that day? And where are these words spoken? Oh, we already heard it. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make a feast. And that mountain is the church, the congregation of the living God, wherever it is revealed. And then on this morning, on this Sabbath day indeed, we may say, it shall be said in that day. And what words are then spoken in that day? Here, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, and we have waited for him. Even For him we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Congregation, it begins with the word lo. And here that is a joyful exclamation. This is a cry for gladness. Here is a song. Here is a word of thankfulness. Lo, this is our God. And again, this is the Lord. And there we have now two precious names. Two names that have been given to himself, that is, by that eternal, most blessed, most high God of heaven and of the earth. Oh, that is with great emphasis, because it is said in that day, this is our God and this is the Lord. And here it means that the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth before the congregation. This means that the Savior is proclaimed in the midst of that guilty people of Israel. And that is now the mediator so long awaited in the Old Covenant. Ever since the mother promise was supplied by the Lord in Genesis 3, there is a people that know that they have been waiting for him and for his coming. Ah, that Old Testament congregation was indeed longing and waiting, were they not? Because there was a people also in those days that needed a Savior, that expected a Savior, that prayed for a Savior, that called for him to come. Ah, and there were times in the Old Testament that faith languished, that expectation diminished, and it seemed to pine away as if nothing was left anymore. And yet time and again, the Lord came by renewal, and he stirred it up, and then he often supplied another promise, so that through those 4,000 years, time and again more was revealed about that Savior, and he had not even come. Now, that is the way in the New Testament also. The Lord does not save his people any different way than he did in centuries ago. Oh, surely not, because they are all led by the same Spirit. They are all instructed by the same Word. They are all saved by that same Redeemer. They receive the application in their heart by that same Spirit, because they are all loved by the same Father. And therefore, what we have in the text is still true today, congregation. They say, we have waited for him, congregation. Oh, they have waited. What does that now mean? Was there now a people ever since the beginning of the world that looked for the Lord? Oh yes, Adam and Eve. They looked for the Lord in that cool of the day, when the Lord would come unto them and they would have communion with him. But congregation, that has altogether been ruined, because as Adam fell, we all have fallen. Oh yes, because then we no longer sought for God, but our hand reached forth for that forbidden fruit. And what was our expectation? No longer communion with God, but that we could sit upon the throne. And what was the outcome? That was altogether different than the lie which Satan held before Adam and Eve. No. because then we have plunged ourselves into misery and into death. And then we were sent out of paradise. We became enemies of God and of our own salvation. And however, if now the same wonder shall take place in our heart as took place in Adam, then we will experimentally learn what the text tells us in this morning. For God came and he said to Adam, "Where art thou?" He had lost his standing. He was naked. He was guilty. He was hiding before because he could not stand before the Almighty. And the Lord came with that word. And by the law taught him the knowledge of sin. He was guilty. He was undone. He was unrighteous. Oh, he had only filthy rags. He was naked really before God. Because these fig leaves could not truly cover him. You know what was true of him? That he had become unprofitable before God because he had gone astray. And so the Holy Spirit in conversion humbles our proud flesh and he puts our nose into the dust. Oh, and then there is a grief that we have no desire in the knowledge of God's ways. Then we become so loathsome before the Almighty. And then we begin to bow under him and accept the punishment of our iniquity. Oh, then we realize that death shall come. And after death, the judgment. And then it is lost. Then it is lost forever. But now that wonder in the life of Adam, that wonder which must take place in each one's heart, is that the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor shall the expectation of the poor perish forever. Oh no. You know what happens? That uncovered sinner shall realize that he must stand before God's judgment and answer all those demands, and he cannot. He cannot satisfy the God's righteous requirements. He has not a penny to pay. And in this way, the Holy Spirit makes room for that Savior, that I cannot save myself. I cannot deliver myself. I need one to take my place. The sinner is brought to an end. It becomes hopeless. It becomes a helpless case. And there is a people that learn it time and again. Yes. Because we are so willing. We are so busy. We are so ready to take everything and also come to the Lord's Supper with everything. I am no better. No. But so the Lord uncovers and empties and strips and he makes poor and he makes so needy. And now at that point the Lord makes a separation where there is no separation, for there is no worthiness in Adam, there is no worthiness in any one of us, no. But then he gave that promise, that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. A seed of the woman was promised. That was the mother promise, the first time that the Lord spoke of a coming Savior. And that is now the mediator. That is now that Savior and Redeemer that we do miss. Oh, and then in that way the Lord begins to teach that he is suitable, that he is all sufficient, that he is so almighty, that he is so able, that he is so willing, that he is so precious, that he is so indispensable, and he is so necessary. The Lord begins to teach about his precious names. He speaks about his natures. He speaks about his offices. He teaches about those states of humiliation and exaltation. He speaks about those benefits. And we do not say that the Lord teaches everything in one day. And he does not teach everything to his people, but the Lord is free. But in that fullness of Christ, there is an inexhaustless fullness of grace for grace. And see, then the Lord in that way makes empty in self, unworthy in self, and undeserving in self. But then there comes that crying for him. There comes what the text says, that waiting for him. Then I begin to pray that he may speak, that he may come, that he may reveal himself. Then I begin to seek him. Then I begin to expect him. Oh, and then, who is that? It says so in verse 9. Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him. And furthermore, this is the Lord, we have waited for him. It is a people that says none other but him. No one can do, no one will be able to deliver such a wretch as I am and pay that debt that rises unto heaven, to wash such a filthy sinner clean with his blood and with his righteousness. John Calvin said, apart from Christ, all religion is deceitful and transitory. It does not stay. It leaves you empty. It leaves you so lost before God. Oh, such worship of anything else but Christ ought to be abandoned, yes. Now, do you need such a one, such a Savior? Are you then with that people in the text? We have waited for him. We have waited for him. Because the man in that text says it not only once, but he says it twice. He repeats it. And if you are in the water drowning, then crying out, help, once, oh, that will not do. Then it is help, and it is help. And that is now indicated here. That fervent crying, that urgent need, that great desire, and that strong expectation. Oh, we have waited for him. We have waited for him. It is a people. They sometimes have a word from the Lord, an encouragement and a token, a promise, yes. And that gives hope. And that relieves the soul for a while. But it is not a fulfillment. You can be waiting for him and yet not have received him. And can now a bride be satisfied unless that she is married to her bridegroom? And so this people, this waiting people, waiting with the work of God in their heart. But yet, they need the fulfillment congregation. And therefore, we said in the first thought, it is a living expectation. It is not something dead or dry or barren, and you put it in the cupboard and in 10 years you look at it. No, that is not the way it goes. It can be a long time, that is true. But then the Lord will come back upon it and make it lively once again. Oh, are there now such waiting people here this morning? Perhaps someone says, but what is now that waiting? Do you know what that waiting is? That is trusting. that is expecting with a strong desire in my soul, and that is now accompanied with patience. That is now a work of faith, resting upon that word. When the Lord has given you a promise, that is the word on which you may rest, which you may bring before the Lord. That is the true pleading by faith. Then we say, as it were, reverently, Lord, here is that promise. I did not deserve it, but thou didst give it. And I cannot fulfill it, but Lord, wilt thou now come and bring that to pass? Because the apostle says, faith, therefore, is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. The apostle knows that that hope, that expectation rests upon that faith. It is the substance, it is the foundation. But that faith rests upon that word of God, the word that the Lord himself has spoken. Oh, then it is a waiting. For what? For the Lord to change my sorrow into gladness on the morrow. Is that now strange for your soul? Ah, congregation, it is in Scripture. What do you think those shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem? It was all dark and it seemed all hopeless, and then suddenly that surprise, unto you is born, in this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is what they needed. And think of Simeon waiting for the consolation in Israel. Think of Anna, who knew several people there in Jerusalem, and she had seen the Lord's Christ. And what did she do? She went to tell of him to all those that were expecting, looking for him for redemption in Jerusalem. Solomon said it in Proverbs 23. For surely there is an end, for thine expectation shall not be cut off. There comes an end to that waiting, and the Lord will give the fulfillment. That is the reward, that gracious reward upon that waiting. And the Lord will not cut off that expectation, but he shall fulfill it, congregation. Oh, are there now such here that say we have waited for him? We have waited for him, and we are still waiting for him at God's time. And in God's way, then he will surely bring to pass and give what you are waiting for, who you are waiting for. And that brings us to the second thought. Because then there is not only a living expectation, but that people shall come to rejoice in that sure salvation. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, here you have waiting for that God and waiting for the Lord. Oh, and this is now, these are now two of these precious names of that great and glorious God. The first one is God. That is the all-sufficient, that is the almighty, that is that God of heaven and of the earth. That is now the God that is high and that is holy, supreme in dominion is he. That is the God who has revealed himself unto Abram. I am the almighty God. And everything, Abram, that you need, that is in me, and I can, and I will supply it. And now recall, when the prophet says, this is our God, we have waited for him. And this is the Lord, we have waited for him. He is speaking about the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And earlier Isaiah had been given to prophesy, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You see it? That is the fulfillment in Christ. We have waited for him. This is our God. And then later that same prophet said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. A child, the human nature. A son, the divine nature. And then in one person, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and they shall call his name. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, congregation, there lies now something of that blessed name of God. It applies. It is the Savior. We have waited for him. Do you then know him? Do you know him in the promise? Do you know him in his names and all those other things, or even some of these things? And what does the text now show? First it is, we have waited for him, our God. That is the God who is not lifeless and powerless, as the idols know. It is the living and it is the Almighty God. But then further, it is, this is the Lord, with those four capital letters. We have waited for him. So it is Jehovah. It is the one, the God of the oath and of the covenant. For Jesus says, I will never forsake the works of my own hands. It is Jeremiah who declared the Lord, the same Lord, our righteousness. And that opens up even more secrets of salvation for that people that need to be instructed step by step. Oh, then there is in him so much, congregation. For he is unchangeable. He is ever faithful. And he is true. He is the God of the covenant, the mediator of the covenant, the surety of the covenant. He is the head of that covenant. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. And if we now listen again, then notice something. Because we have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now both that word salvation and save come from the same root in the original as the name Jesus. And therefore it is so clear that this God, this Lord, is none other but the Savior and the Redeemer. Oh, then it is the Savior who has come to save his people. And he did prepare his feast. But now what is the provision in this feast? Is it not that bread? Is it not that wine? Is it not his body? Is it not his blood? And you see then already where the prophet is driving towards. Because then he is going to show the purpose why that is God, this Savior, has come to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, precisely the ones that do not dare to come to the table. They say, I have no rights to that table. And unless the Lord brings me there, I cannot come to that table. And now that Savior has come. Because he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And by faith, that people may then say, and he will save us. Yes. that all-sufficient, and that Almighty God, He is the very Savior. And the soul believes it. The soul is given to embrace Him. That is in the promise. And then the taste of that coming salvation is already in the soul. He will deliver, He will redeem, He will preserve, He shall keep me from everything. And from what are you then saved? From all my sins. From all my wicked corruption. From all my enemies. From all that is evil and dead. That is wrong. That is contrary. The enmity that lives in me. The rebellion. But that saving means more. Not only delivering from all that is evil. But also make partaker of all that is good. All that is good. So that is all that comes from the Lord. And that is life. That is favor. That is communion. Oh, you say, in what way? Listen to John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen to what the Lord had Ethan sing. I have help laid up upon one that is mighty, and he is strong to save. Listen to the name that was declared to Joseph, which he had to give to that child to come. His name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is the author of eternal salvation, says Paul. And he himself testified, I give unto my sheep eternal life. He will save us. But now the Lord, through the prophet, goes a step further. He leads a step further. For we have waited for him and he will save us. And now it is we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In his salvation. It is his salvation. So full, so free, so glorious, so perfect, so altogether lovely, desirable and precious. Oh, then it is nothing of myself. And then it is all of him, congregation. Then he says, I give unto that people my eternal life. Oh, yes. And we said, by faith that is then received. Oh, yes. But there is then such a fullness in him. Because then they receive that salvation in their own heart. Then they receive the application. It is nothing of me. Oh, is that now not necessary? People that have been struggling and troubled in this week of preparation. You cannot come into anything. You cannot bring anything. You end up more needy and more naked, more poor, and so undone. Now, that is how the Lord wants it. Because there can only be true joy in His salvation. We have no salvation. We have only ruin. We have only spoiling of everything that the Lord supplies. But now, that being glad and rejoicing in his salvation. Oh, that is the wonder for that people. And then you shall experience that his feast is not prepared in vain. That the Savior did not have his body broken in vain. That the Savior did not shed his blood in vain. Oh no, it is his salvation alone. And that salvation is enough. For in him the Father said, I am well pleased. Oh, then we read here, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Glad and rejoice. They are two distinct words in the original. What does that mean? We will be glad. That means I begin to skip for joy before the Lord. That is someone who must show it. And his face shines something of that joyful glory that the Lord places upon him. We will be glad, yes. Where does it come from? From the heart. Because the Lord makes my soul joyful in the Lord. There is that inner joy, and then that expresses itself outwardly. And therefore it is body and soul. Therefore we shall sing with the heart and we shall sing with the tongue. Oh, then it becomes so evident that this is the people whom the Lord has loved and he gives unto them his salvation. Oh, then you understand a little of the text. Lo, that joyful exclamation with thanksgiving. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is our Lord and we have waited for him. And we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, that is a firm resolve. We will be glad and we will rejoice in his salvation. But it is more. Oh, the scriptures are so rich. There is also an admonition that you then give unto the fellow travelers on the way to eternity. And you say it especially to God's people. Let us now rejoice and be glad in that salvation. Come join with us and praise him, serve him all our days. If you know nothing of these things, if this is now strange except it may be known by the mouth and by the understanding, oh, then do not come, but bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, that is what I miss. That is the heart of the matter, but there is abundance. Lord, wilt thou supply that also unto me? But if there is now a people waiting, oh, people that have received a hunger and a thirst after him and after his righteousness. Oh, then those people may come with an empty hand, with a hungry heart, and with a thirsty soul. And then, oh, to be given to testify, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. What a wonder shall that be. And then to learn, this is the Lord. We have waited for him. We shall be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, what did we read in Isaiah 12? Behold, God is my salvation. We will rejoice. We will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Oh, to such then I say, yes, do come. And with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen.